ready to sleep in the Prophet's bed so that to save the life of the Prophet. And we know that early in the morning they tried to, kill the Prophet as they suppose, but they found that this is Imam Ali alayhi salam. They became aware of the plan of the Prophet. They followed the steps of the Prophet. They came near the Cave of Thawr, but through some miracles, they were not able to find the Prophet. So this is one of the greatest examples of the self-sacrifice of Imam Ali alayhi salam for sure. He did that many times in his life. This is one of the greatest ones. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse 207 of chapter Baqarah. The verse reads, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرَهُ نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And among the people is he who sells his soul seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And Allah is most kind to his servants. Now, according to many scholars, Shia and Sunni scholars, this was revealed about Imam Ali alayhi salam on Laylatul Mabid. Iskafi, one of the great scholars of tafsir, says that all scholars of tafsir, of an interpretation of the Quran, believe that this was revealed about Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 207.
Exactly.
As you said, that's right, okay?
It's been mentioned that we know that Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan, he tried to remove the merits and virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And for that purpose, he asked some people to forge some fake narrations. So according to a report mentioned by Ibn Abil Hadid in the commentary of Nahj al-Balagha, volume 1, page 73, he gave 1,000 dirhams to Samarat ibn Jundab to forge a narration, a fake narration, that this verse, وَمَنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِ نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, was revealed about Ibn Muljam, the one who killed Imam Ali alayhi salam. And on the other hand, the verse which reads, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبِكَ قَوْلُكُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, which is talking negatively about a person, it was revealed about Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Okay.
Samura did not accept. Muawiyah proposed 200,000 dirhams. He did not accept. Then 300,000, he did not accept. But finally, he sent 400,000 dirhams, and he accepted. And we see this narration in one of the books, unfortunately.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So then now the main question is that if Imam Ali knew that he will not be killed on such a night, so is it considered kind of fazila, merit for him or not?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's, some anti-Shia people, especially I'm talking about the Wahhabis, they say that this is not a virtue for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Of course, this is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, and Allah says that وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَةِ اللَّهِ. They sell their soul seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that it was probable for Imam Ali alayhi salam to be killed. But they say that you Shia believe that the Imams know the knowledge of the unseen, and so Imam Ali alayhi salam knew that he is not going to be killed. And so if this is the case, then he was sure that he will not be harmed at all. Then it is not a virtue for the Imam. Now, there are a couple of points to answer this question. First of all, at that time, Imam Ali alayhi salam is not the Imam of the time. The Holy Prophet is the Prophet.
Yes.
At the same time, the Prophet is the Imam. And Imam Ali Salam is the greatest companion of the Prophet.
Yes, he's not an Imam.
Exactly. So the special knowledge that Ilm al-Laduni, the Allah-given, the God-given knowledge, which is special for the Prophet and the Imams, is given to them from the time that they are chosen as the Prophet or the Imam. So first of all, at that time, Imam Ali Salam is not the Imam. So we cannot say that necessarily he has all the knowledge of the unseen that the Holy Prophet had access to. This is the first point. The second point is that we shouldn't think that the Prophet and the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, who can have the knowledge of the unseen, they know whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I mean, practically speaking. The point is that, and I mean, I ask the listeners to pay attention to this part. The narrations tell us that this is the title of some of the narrations, that أَنَّ الْأَئِمَّ إِذَا شَاءُوا أَن يَعْلَمُوا عَلَمُوا أَرْ عُلَّمُوا. When the Imams, they want to know, then they know, or they are taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or إِذَا أَرَادَ الْإِمَامُ أَن يَعْلَمَ شَيْئًا أَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ. When the Imam wills and wants to know something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach him. So we shouldn't think that Imam or the Prophet practically knows everything. No, if he wishes so, then he will know. Mm-hmm. And it means that sometimes he doesn't wish, because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't wish. And that is one of the answers given to questions like the Imam Ridha alayhi salam, for example, knew that he's eating that poisonous fruit, for example. So this is an act of suicide. One of the answers given to this doubt and question is that no, we cannot say that necessarily the Imam knew that. Maybe on that occasion he didn't want to know, because he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want him to know. This is one of the answers, of course, given to this point. So we shouldn't think that the knowledge of the Imam is exactly like the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. First of all, whatever Imam knows is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he is not independent. And second of all, if Allah wishes, then the Imam and the Prophet will know. So we should not think that practically Imam alayhi salam, if he had the knowledge of the unseen at that time before being an Imam, on that time Imam alayhi salam knew everything about the details of Laylatul Mabit. We do not have any argument to prove that.
But the dialogue between Prophet and Imam Ali is really interesting. That what happened, that mm-hmm. Prophet said, okay, they want to kill me. If I sleep on your place and your bed, would you be safe? And the answer was positive. And Imam Ali said, okay, I'm ready to sacrifice my life.
To sacrifice my life. That's meaning right. That, okay. I mean, we have some evidences, some indications that Imam Ali Salam really was not sure mm-hmm. what is going to happen. Inshallah, I will come that's to right. these indications. So the second point is that if the knowledge is going to remove the virtue of an action, so we can mention that. So the Holy Prophet, in all his wars, he knew that he is not going to be martyred because his job is not finished, the whole Quran is not revealed to him, and his risala, his mission should be continued. So can any Muslim claim that, for example, whatever the Holy Prophet did in the Battle of Badr has no virtue for him? Of course not. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you know that you're not going to be killed is not going to remove every virtue and every merit from your action. The next point, which is also very important, is that imagine that Imam Ali Salam knew that he's not going to be killed. But was it impossible for him to be badly injured and harmed? Of course not. So imagine Imam Ali Salam knows that he is not going to be killed, but it was highly probable for him to be harmed and injured by all these 40 people. So even that is a great virtue and merit for Imam Ali Salam. It was probable for him to be captured by these 40 people, and or many other possibilities. And the point is that it has been mentioned in some of the narrations that Imam Ali alayhi salam was very harshly beaten by these people from the Quraysh. For example, in the book Khasa'is, the story of these people attacking Imam alayhi salam has been mentioned in detail. In Khasa'is al-A'imma by Sayyid al-Radi, page 58, he says the following. He says, Ibn al-Kawwa addressing Imam alayhi salam says that, you know that the verse Thaniyathnain idh humma fil ghar idh yaqulu li sahibi la tahta inna allaha ma'ana was revealed in regarding the merits of the Prophet and Abu Bakr. The Holy Prophet said, Imam alayhi salam said that on that very night I was in the bed of the Prophet to save his life. The people of Quraysh attacked me, and each one of them, they hit me by bladed sticks. And when they left, when the Holy Prophet left the house, they did not see him. So that is why they hit me so that my body swelled. And of course, some of them, they wanted to kill me, but other people disagree, so they didn't kill me. Also, Sheikh At-Tusi in the book Al-Amali says that when Imam alayhi salam stepped in the bed of the Holy Prophet on Laylatul Mabit, these people, because they didn't know that who is lying on the bed, of course, they thought that this is the Prophet. So they attacked him and they hit him with a stone, with sticks, whatever they had. And just later they realized that this is Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Even they took him out of the house, they say imprisoned him in a house or a mosque or something, and then...
Exactly. And okay. Some people suggested even to kill Imam alayhi salam, but other people disagreed.
Okay.
This has been mentioned by Ahmad bin Hanbal, one of the great Sunni scholars, in his Musnad 1-in-1, page 330. He says that وَجَعَلَ عَلِيٌّ يُرْمَى بِالْحِجَارَةِ Imam alayhi salam was hit by stones by these people because they didn't know that this is Imam alayhi salam, and he was suffering from pain until early morning. So all these narrations are referring to the fact that even if the Imam alayhi salam was sure that he's not going to be killed, which we rejected, but it was possible for him to be badly harmed and injured, and in practice it happened. And also there are some narrations which, as you rightly mentioned, refer to the fact that Imam alayhi salam stepped in the bed of the Prophet to save his life. He says that, for example, the narration reads, فَبَاتَ عَلِيٌّ مُوَتَّأً نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْقَاتِلِ Imam alayhi salam slept in the bed of the Prophet and he was ready to be killed. مُوَتَّأً نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْقَاتِلِ And there are some poems by Imam alayhi salam. He says that وَقَيْتُ بِنَفْسِي خَيْرَ مَنْ وَطَعَ الْحَسَى I save the life of the Prophet with my life. And some other narrations which refer to the fact that Imam alayhi salam really was not sure what is going to happen on that very night. So no one can shed any doubt regarding this great virtue of Imam alayhi salam on Laylatul Mabit.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Karami, for a nice elaboration regarding the event that took place on Laylatul Mabit and the significant status and the role of Imam Ali alayhi salam on that very special night. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن
يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
First days of January. Part 2.
The beginning of the year in early January, these days always have a special feeling for me. I was born 22 years ago in such days in a village in the province of Aleppo. I've always had these feelings in me in early January. Perhaps none of my friends, relatives, or even I thought that after 12 years of my birth in this land, events would happen that would change the course of history. I am Fatime Ali, a student of journalism at Allame Tabatabwe University in Tehran. In my country, due to the war in Syria, I was forced to leave school and immigrate to Iran. The shy little girl in the town of Nubl, whose biggest concern was the half-hour drive away from the University of Aleppo, today writes stories for us that include hundreds of volumes of books. Today is my birthday. My friends have invited me to listen to my travelogue. Like me, they too have endured the hardships of exile and immigration. Today I was supposed to tell them the story of my 1.5 years of absence from my hometown. Years of siege, famine, and starvation. 4 years without gas and electricity during the bone-chilling cold of northern Syria. This is only part of the suffering of the cities of Nubl and Al-Zahra. In those days, the dreams and wishes of the people depended on the fighters fighting outside the city. Those whose hearts burned like ours and did their best to not let the city fall into the hands of the Takfiri terrorists. The atmosphere in Aleppo has now returned to the days before the war. Aleppo experienced a very bitter battle and felt the heartbreak caused by the battle that killed more than 500,000 people and displaced millions. Damascus, the capital of Syria, was wounded, but it refused to collapse and give in. This city is one of the oldest cities in the world. Its inhabitants of all religions and sects lived in peace for centuries, without any war or bloodshed. But suddenly, it became face-to-face with a phenomenon called Daesh and al-Nusra. When I had to leave the country due to the war and travel to Iran, I had to travel from Aleppo to Damascus. The route was normally 4 hours. But during the war, it took 10 to 11 hours to travel. Even those armed to their teeth did not dare to cross it for fear of their lives. But what happened today is more of a miracle. It is as if the martyrs have brought eternal security for Syria.
Yeah.
Expectations were high for the Levant, but as it is said, the road between Damascus and Mecca will see considerable security and tranquility during the time of the apocalypse. Maybe if we said something during the presence of Daesh and Takfiris in our country, no one would believe us. But today, I travel from the north to the south of Syria without any fear or worry. No one bothers me. Idlib province welcomes you. I am a member of the media and the child of Nub. Hama welcomes you. I can stop anywhere on this route, and I can even show the situation of my country to the whole world. A country who was involuntarily entered into a world war. This neighborhood is where Syrian Jews live. This neighborhood is one of the oldest neighborhoods in Damascus. This place with the narrow alleys and short roofs. We have to tell the stories of Haj Qasim from this place, the commander who did not allow the story of the bazaar of the Levant to be repeated. Haj Qasim left his homeland and came to Syria so that the events that occurred after the Battle of Karbala in the Levant would not be repeated in the streets of Damascus. Haj Qasim broke the siege of Nubl and Al-Zahra so that the sanctity of the divine sanctuary would not be violated again. This is why he was named the Master of Martyrs of the Defenders of the Shrine. Anyone who wants to know more about them should read the story of Karbala over and over again.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Well, in this program, we answer the questions that you have related to the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, in a couple of episodes, you have been helping us understand how to deal with boys, boys who are very difficult to handle. And now when it comes to opposite sex, you have been helping us in the previous episode as well. How do we teach our child to deal with opposite sex, especially boys? Because, you know, Professor, today in a world that we are living in, we have this media propaganda, or we have the movies, or we have everything, whatever is being shown to us through social media, through advertisements, through films, or through any source, through videos, that you should get overexcited when you see the opposite sex. But what is the point of Islam on that?
So, as I said previously also, the relationship between the two sexes of the human beings is very delicate. We have the relationship with a boy, with his mother, with his sister, and then a sister and the cousins outside the immediate family, and then girls outside the family completely. So only those, the mother and the sister, they are mahram. And we said we need to, even being while they are mahram, but they still need to be modest in front of their
children, brothers,
brothers or their
sisters,
sons. Or they need to be modest. They need to take care of that. Of course, a boy should be able to realize the fact that, yes, even they are mahram, but there has to be certain limits to their interaction with their mothers or their sisters. They need to be, they should have a modest behavior. They should have a reserved behavior as far as many things go. You can't talk to your sisters everything that you can talk to you about with your brothers or with your friends. You can't talk about the opposite sex, for example. Unfortunately, sometimes this is happening. That a boy may be discussing,
right,
a brother may be discussing things with his sister, which he shouldn't be doing so. Of course, he can take her advice and she can help him out with a relationship, but not in a way that is not modest. So unfortunately, this is sometimes happening, and there are two sisters who are not doing him justice by talking to him in ways which are not proper and appropriate.
Okay.
And, so we need to take care of that relationship. Mothers should also be, careful of how and what they say to their boys. And especially the fathers have a very important role to play. They need to, as I said, they need to be able to in that situation when the boy is going to face a situation where he's going to come into interaction with the opposite sex, what can be done? He needs to be controlled. He needs to be managed. He needs to be taught how to manage his feelings because, I mean, of course, you can't expect a person to go towards the fireplace and put his hand on that fireplace and it's not going to get burnt.
Yeah.
The red hot iron is going to burn your hand. So it's the same case with a person, a boy going towards the opposite sex who is not mahram
to him.
And that interaction is going to make you burn
have
you.
The consequences.
So the consequences have to be managed, they have to be controlled, they have to be restricted. And for that, the important thing is that a relationship of confidence and confidentiality should develop between the father and the son, especially.
All right.
Mothers can't do that. The sisters can't.
We'll shed a light on that after a short break, Professor. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi. Professor, you said that when it comes to boys, and when they reach a stage that they are dealing with opposite sex, fathers play a big role than mothers. How?
Yes, because they have the same sex, basically. I mean,
they're from same gender.
They're from the same gender. The problem, they have faced the similar problems. They have faced a similar situation. They know the problems. And unfortunately, today, in the world today, we are faced with a very difficult situation for Muslims living in the West. They have a difficult situation where their children have to go for sex education at school. And this is a very difficult issue for all Muslims who are living in the West. And they are forced now, they're being forced by the authorities to, for them to attend the classes where this sex education is given.
So when it comes to sex education, do we have problem with the content that is being taught, or do we have problem with the age?
We have both the things. I mean, today the problem is not just sex. It's not just talking about, it's not, they're not saying how to manage the sex relationship in a proper way. It's talking about how to justify wrongdoings, whether
exactly.
It's even same
so we
sex
have problem with the content
same
being
sex
taught.
Marriage is being, you know, is being
promoted.
If not, is being justified.
Yeah.
So how to deal with a situation? They're being taught to carry out things which they're not supposed to do in according to our the teachings of our religion. So the only thing is that we need to be able to preempt that. The father should be able to engage with his son in a way that he feels that the son can confide with his father and talk about these issues. And the age is important. It should be, of course, not a very small age that he's not even concerned with these issues. You can't arouse the feelings of a boy who's 5 to 6 years of age and he doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
But the time he becomes 10, 12, he's the age of what we call, he started to be able to distinguish between things which are good and bad. He
yeah.
may not have the hormones being released yet, but still he is able to distinguish between what is wrong and right in the realm of sexual relationships. So from there, the father should come in and start having a good, friendly interaction with his son.
Yeah.
To develop that, he should be always saying that, I love you, I accept your mistakes. He should be able to teach him being truthful. The important thing is being truthful.
Sincere, truthful.
Let him, at an early age, let him release his energies. Let him play games which are maybe intensive, maybe a little difficult games,
okay.
Harsh. Even let him, you know, release that energy.
Okay.
Let him scream out. Let him, you know, at an age where he's not in that age where he's an adolescent. Before that, if that energy is released, even if the father plays with him in such a way, they may wrestle with each other, do boxing with each other, you know.
Help him.
It will help.
Yeah. We'll discuss more with you, Professor, after a short break. Now, listeners, stay tuned.
Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat, Ya Muqiy al-Khayrat.
Regarding the sixth verse of Surah At-Tahrim, the 66th Surah of the Holy Quran, that is, O you who have faith, save yourselves and your families from a fire. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, save your families from fire by enjoining them to do good and forbidding them from evil deeds.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, and Professor is teaching us something very important, that when boys are to deal with opposite sex, how we should be dealing with, especially the fathers. Yes, Professor.
So we need, we were saying that we need to develop a relationship, a close relationship with our boys. But fathers have to deal in such a way, play with them. wrestle with them, go play football. I mean, let them release the energy. And then we need to be able to be good listeners. Make them speak the truth. Let them speak out their hearts. Let them feel that if he's going to relate something wrong, a mistake he may have made, if he's going to be, you know, if he can feel and speak out to his father in a relaxed way, in a confiding way, then he will not have any difficulty in interacting with his father.
Yeah.
Then when it comes to the time, proper time, when the education is to be imparted, the issues that have to relate with the specific sexual limits and relations with the opposite sex, then the father can very easily discuss these issues with his son. And then he can be, you know, make him realize that this situation is there. I understand what you feel, but you need to, you know, manage yourself. You need to be able to
manage your emotions.
You need to release your energies in a positive way. In other ways, carry out alternative sports, intellectual activities, and especially spirituality, and going towards Allah Almighty, reaching out to Allah to help him, to assist him. So you need to help your child in how to do this, how to manage those situations. Talk to him clearly. Apparently, this is what you are. This is you are a boy. You are a grown-up boy. You have your feelings. You have your emotions. I know what you need, but there's a time before you can go for that relationship. You need to manage that situation.
And we are answerable in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala for each and every deed that we carry out. And we should not be among those whom Allah will ask tomorrow, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ, what was it that ditched you towards your Rabb, who was very Kareem towards you, the Rabb who upbrought you, your Lord, and that too in a very kind way, in a very merciful way. What was it that you preferred someone else over your Lord? Because what happens in these relationships when a person comes in contact with the opposite sex is that he prioritizes the opposite sex over everything blindly.
Exactly. So he needs to understand that, I mean, the father should be very much, he should not be afraid of talking to his son about these issues, and he should be able to talk to him without feeling embarrassed. And so therefore, I mean, when it comes to the ahkam, the orders and commands of Allah Almighty, there should be no embarrassment. We should be very much be explicit about these things. Of course,
what you are trying to say is that even we kind of have a sex education in Islam, but that has a different content, that has jurisprudence in it, and that has
ethics
a particular
and morals.
Age, that has ethics, that has morals, and that has all the teachings that Islam tells us. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much for giving us such information, especially to the fathers who can actually know now how to deal with their boys. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio. For those who seek the truth.
Allah, 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 Allah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
May 13, 1984. Place: Husseiniya Jamaran, Tehran. Subject: Methods of Islamic Invitation. Let me draw your attention to one point regarding the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him, and Immaculate Imams of Muslims. The Holy Prophet invited people by divine revelation at a time when he was alone and had no companies except one or two persons. He did not wait for the number of his followers to increase. He did not wait for multitudes of people accompany him. He began his call for the beginning, inviting people to embrace Islam and find the right path.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, in this program, we try to shed light on some of the sentences of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, who was the great leader and founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. About the subject of fault finding, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "No fault is greater than not understanding one's own fault and ignoring it. Although one is a collection of faults himself, he is concerned with the faults of others." This sentence is about a very important feature of a true Muslim. You should avoid searching for bad habits or characteristics in other people. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam has said in that regard, عَلَى الْعَاقِلُ أَنْ يُحْصَى مِنْ نَفْسِهِ مُسَاوِيهَا فِي الدِّينِ وَالرَّأِي وَالْأَخْلَاقِ وَالْآدَابِ فَيَجْمَعَ ذَلِكَ فِي صَدْرِهِ أَوْ فِي كِتَابِ وَيَعْمَلُ فِي إِزَالَتِهَا. It is incumbent among every person of intelligence that he carefully look over his weakness in regards to following his or her religion, thoughts, etiquette, and that of his or her interaction with other people. And he or she should either record these in heart or write them down, and then he or she should strive to remove all of these bad habits from himself or herself.
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
Again, in relation to people who always look at the weakness and faults of other people, Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ عَيْبًا أَنْ يُفْصِرُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَعْمَى عَنْهُ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. Sufficient is a person's own defect in himself that he tries to pick and look for faults in other people, when himself has those same faults in himself or herself and doesn't recognize them. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi sentence is just in line with these narrations, and their point is that if those who pick faults of others would spend the same energy that they use in looking at bad habits in others and through which they reproach others and correcting themselves and looking at their own defects and trying to recognize their own souls, imagine what level of happiness they would be able to reach. That is what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is warning us about. And in order for us to come to a deeper understanding of our real value.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday of spring, May 7th, 2023. I'm Atefe Irfani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and attitudes are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back, everyone. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Stumo Huang from Indonesia, Najmuddin from Bangladesh, and Dilip Kumar from India, one of our old and regular listeners. So, Dilip Kumar, Stumo Huang, and Najmuddin, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here we have piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read your great emails. Najmuddin from India has sent us an email. Najmuddin is one of our old and regular listeners. Ding Lu from China has sent us a piece of email. Hector Fria Jofre, one of our old and regular listeners from Chile, has sent us an email. From India again, we've received an email from one of our regular listeners, from Jayanta Chakrabarty. And from Poland, we have an email from Tomasz Katas. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. So, as I said, Najmuddin from India has sent us a piece of email. And Najmuddin says, "Dear sir or madam, assalamu alaikum. Please find the reception report enclosed to this email. I heard news and news highlights program, which is always my favorite. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule. Printed QSL card with IRIB souvenirs. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Najmuddin from India, and thank you very much for this email. Thank you for letting us know your opinion about our programs, as you mentioned that your favorites are the news section and the news highlights program. It's good to hear that. And as for your request for sending you the new program and frequency schedule, as well as the printed QSL card with IRB souvenirs, as I have always said, sending any material on behalf of IRB English Radio is halted temporarily due to the coronavirus pandemic around the world. So for the time being, please accept our eQSL or electronic QSL as verification. Maybe in the near future, we will send you IRIB English Radio souvenirs. And also, you can find the new program and frequency schedule at our website at parstoday.ir/en. Najmuddin from India, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And Ding Lu from China has sent us an email. Ding Lu says, "Dear IRIB, Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am a listener from China. Today I received your English program signal at 1520, 1620 UTC. The signal is very strong. The listening effect is very clear. Here, I want to apply for a QSL card from the Radio Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. If there are souvenirs with Radio Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's logo, it would be even better. Through your 24-hour English broadcast, I have a deeper understanding of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I would also love to have time to travel to Iran, taste local specialties, and visit local places of interest. I hope you can send me a QSL card. Thank you. Looking forward to receiving your reply. Thanks. Best wishes." Ding Lu from China, salam and greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And appreciations to you for this great email. And appreciations to you for your constant support and commitment to IRB English Radio. It's good to hear that you have gained a great pile of conception, a deep understanding, a true understanding of the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's good to hear that. So, Ding Lu from China, thank you again for this great email. We also invite you to travel to Iran and visit the great cities and villages of this great country, taste local specialties, and be acquainted with the customs and traditions of Iranian people, and many other things, many other beautiful things about Iran. Thank you again, Ding Lu from China. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So from Chile, we've received an email from Hector Fria Jofre, one of our old and regular listeners. Hector says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I send my greetings and also a report in audio enclosed to my email confirming that I have been a listener of your radio. I would like to receive information about your country, and I certainly want to obtain a QSL card or eQSL if it would be possible. Yours truly. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran. Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. And warm gratitude to you for this great email. Thank you for this email and the audio you enclosed to your email confirming that you have been a listener of IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And here we've received an email from India from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. Jayanta says, "Dear staff, as a long-time regular listener to my favorite radio station, I send my greetings and good wishes to IRIB English Radio team for presenting attractive and interesting programs that truly enhances my knowledge of the great nation of Iran. Please receive my feedback of one of your broadcasts, which I accessed in the 25-meter shortwave band. Reception quality was fairly good with a strong signal strength. Presentation of program was cheerful and friendly. It would be a pleasure to have my report verified at your end with a printed QSL card. I would be delighted to receive some Iranian postage stamps for collection if it is possible from your end. Wishing all at IRIB English Radio good health and safety with warm regards from India. Salam and warm greetings and warm regards from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and also from IRIB English Radio staff to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Thank you very much for this great email and appreciations to you for letting us know your opinion about the quality of our programs as you spoke about the quality of the program, the signal strength, and the presentation of the program. Thank you for that. Your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio let us move easily and truly in our path to strengthen the quality of our programs. Thank you for that. It is a pleasure to have you with us as a long-time regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you again. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Now, here we have an email from Poland, from Tomasz Katas. Tomasz says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, my name is Tomasz Katas, a DXer from Poland. Thank you for taking the time to read my report. I hope you found it useful. If this reception report is accurate and you have the time, please verify it with an EQSL email confirmation. Thank you." Salam and greetings to you, Tomasz Katas from Poland. Thank you for this email. So, you are a DXer from Poland. Thank you for taking time to write this email to IRIB English Radio. We will soon send you an EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation. So, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Okay, as I always say, art is long, but life is short. Yes, here we have come to the end of our today's listeners special. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6776,